can check you out over here.
Well, my first sale. You guys make it look so much harder. Have a rosy day.
We won't be doing rosy day.
Thanks to the recent motel acquisition, Jocelyn appeals to Patrick and David for a job at their store to help make ends meet, and Moira finds herself the victim of an ovum attack. Alexis tries to make quick work of bouncing back after her breakup with Ted, but Johnny is unsettled by her choice in Bachelor. There's a new Golden Bachelor in town, but will he keep his rose? Find out as we dive into Season 6, Episode 9, The Rebound. Hello, hello, everyone. Are we all having a rosy day?
I'm having a rosy day, Katie. Did you have a rosy day?
I mean, it was Friday, so how could it not
be a rosy
day?
Friday is always a rosy day.
We're a day later than normal, but yeah, definitely rosy Fridays. Mm-hmm. Love a Friday.
Yes.
My general work day on a Friday ends at about 10 a.m. How about yours?
Mine is, I only work 6 hours on Friday, which is nice because it's my shortest day of the week, but I definitely phone it in. I phoned it in real hard today.
Do you teach on Fridays at all?
I don't. It's the one day I don't teach. Nice. So I'm just there to do my like staff business and like wait
catch
until
up with
lunch
things.
And then wait until 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I get to work on Fridays. I get my coffee, empty my inbox, and then I'm solidly checked out, or not really checked out, but just in make it look like I'm doing something mode on a Friday.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have all recovered from the grief-ridden episode last week when Ted and Alexis ended it all.
I know.
We'll talk about our polls and people's opinions about that first. I do have one little tidbit of news before we get into that.
Okay. Let's hear it.
We've talked about this quite a while ago. It's been a while since we heard about this, but Dan Levy making his directorial debut on a film. And that is finally slated to come out. The film is called Good Grief, and it comes out on Netflix January 5th.
Okay.
And it deals
I'm guessing it's not about Charlie Brown.
It's not about Charlie Brown. It's, I believe Dan Levy plays a character who he is in the movie himself as well. And who has just lost his mother and is dealing with that, and then unexpectedly loses his partner as well. From what I can remember reading, I'm not very good at retaining information when I read things like that. If you haven't figured that out already, my problem is I mean to write it down and I don't write it down when I'm reading it, and then I just go write a quick note about it later. But that's what it's about, and so obviously not going to be a super happy type topic, but I'm sure it'll be an uplifting kind of vibe if I know Dan, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then another really just shout out to Dan and movies is it's now the holiday season. So get yourself on Hulu and watch Happiest Season. Too, right?
Yeah.
So, and all the good holiday movies, of course.
Definitely.
We did. So speaking of Ted and Alexis breaking up, you did a couple polls. So let's hear, what do people think about that, Stephanie?
Yes. First poll last week, we wanted to know, with sort of the ethical gray area of the roses and shits treating their new property as like a personal property and not a business property. And is that a smart business practice? We wanted to know. 75% of our listeners said once in a while it's fine, but it is a slippery slope. 12% said it's totally fine. You have to sample the product. And then another 12 said best to keep the two separate.
Okay. So once in a while, but be careful.
But be careful. And I think that's a good rule of thumb for a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did have to ask about the heartbreaking breakup and how are people feeling now knowing that Ted's story has ended in the entire show, but Ted and Alexis specifically. And 29% said they were on different paths and this was inevitable, that they were not going to be able to stick it out together. 16% said they were completely heartbroken. I thought that would be a little bit higher, to be honest.
I thought that would be higher.
The highest was 52% who have hope that they will get back together one day, which that surprises me because I don't know that I'm in that category, to be honest,
really?
If I'm being realistic. And then the last category I did just have to include, I never liked them together. And
nobody picked that, did they?
We did have one person who said they never liked them together.
I'm shocked.
So, I guess people are holding out hope that one day they will reunite. And I wonder
if that person was rooting for Mutt.
Maybe that was Mutt.
Maybe.
If you're listening.
So Tiffany wrote in, I don't know if you saw this message in the Instagram, on the podcast hosted by Entertainment Weekly about the show, they talked about how when Dan was originally writing up the show, he envisioned a double wedding for Patrick and David and Ted and Alexis. Yeah. And they thought it was inevitably more important to show like how hard love is sometimes and how things don't always work out. And I mean,
that's what I think we talked about last week was,
yeah,
they could have taken the fairy tale TV ending.
Yeah.
Like what he proposed with the double wedding.
It's not always real life.
And that could have fit into the, like, this tiny little town where everyone fits in, this utopia that is Schitt's Creek. But they brought it back to reality. And I think also, again, I think they need the characters to end the show in their own way. And so having Alexis and David like share an ending, I could see why that storytelling.
Yeah, that's a better better individual reach.
But I'm glad to know that Dan wanted that for Alexis.
It started out that way.
Honestly, that's kind of what I wanted too. And
yeah,
that's why I'm still so hung up on it all. But
what about wedding updates, Steph? Speaking of the wedding,
yeah,
would you ever do a shared wedding with somebody? A double wedding?
No.
I was like, you didn't even answer that. I can tell by your eyes you would never do that.
I would not.
What wedding updates do you have this week? Anything
big? Just set out our save the date, so that's pretty official.
I did
like,
get that.
That's all been in the works. We finally got our engagement photos back, like all of them, and we were able to like finish up our wedding website to get that published, and that's what I was sort of waiting on to send save the dates out. So it was
some pictures with it.
Most people knew. There were a couple people who were like delighted and surprised to get a save the date, but most people I think knew the details and it was just like a formality, just so you know it's official, we're getting married. Formal invitation to follow, of course, but we got those checked off with, so that felt good. I also I haven't told you this, I got a second ring. It is my travel ring, and I got it on Amazon for $10.
Leave your expensive one at home. You don't want to like travel with it. That's a smart thing.
It was something idea. So we're going to Florida next month for like a little less than a week. We're going to be down to Fort Lauderdale, which I'm excited to take just like a little vacation.
We'll get away.
And I'm super paranoid right now still, and maybe I'll eventually get used to it. But like, if something happening to the ring, like losing it in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I would just feel better if I had something. And that's why eventually my wedding band, like I want something where I can just sometimes wear the band and not the whole shebang. But I couldn't wait. I said, I'm just going to look on Amazon, see if I can find something that could be like my travel ring. And I found one that is very similar to mine. The diamond's a little bit smaller, but like, you've seen my ring.
Gonna be hard to find even a fake one that big.
And so it came this week and I was like actually really impressed, and I didn't tell Sushan I ordered it, and I just like swapped out my ring, and then I was like trouncing around the house kind of like trying to be a little obvious, and then it caught his eye and he was like, wait a minute, something's different.
That's not as big as the one I
that's
purchased.
That's not the ring I got you. And I was like, no, this is my travel ring. So yeah,
that's not a bad idea.
It was a great, and it was literally $10. It was the best cubic zirconia
money could buy.
Dupe that money could buy.
Nice.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I don't really even wear my wedding ring all that much unless we're like going on date nights or going to somebody's wedding or something. But I did take it to Mexico when we were celebrating our anniversary. So I wore it there, you know, but like I do worry about, even I don't like sleeping with it. So I'll take it off and set it on the nightstand at night. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't leave this here. Like now it just doesn't leave my jewelry box. When we're at home, it just stays there.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Well, so good.
Those are my wedding
updates. Glad you got the dupe in there. That's good.
The dupe.
Responsible Stephanie.
It's a good dupe.
What else? I think that's all the updates we got this week. And we mentioned this already, but we're in person next week. Looking forward to seeing you in the flesh.
Yes.
And guys, I made this big announcement a couple of weeks ago, but
it's happening.
My new baby kitten is coming home.
She's
so next time
way.
We record, she will be a part of the family.
That's the only clue you're getting.
Do, 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 do. So that's a clue to her name in case. Yeah. You all, that'll be fun. Let's have everyone guess her name before she comes home. Mm-hmm. That should be a dead giveaway, though.
I mean, I would think so. We'll see.
Okay. So I'm ready to jump into the episode. Are you ready?
Let's do it. You're leading.
I am leading this week. This episode title is Rebound. That's the official title. Mm-hmm. And our title is Have a Rosy Day.
Have a Rosy Day.
Have a Rosy Day. In the best Jocelyn accent you can muster up. So we are opening in the motel, and the remaining of the family, all but Alexis, are in the kids' room, and David is spouting off some worried discussion about how he just finds this whole Rebound thing to be very manic and abrupt and quick, and he's expressing his concern, and apparently Alexis has found herself a Rebound guy, right? Mm-hmm. And Johnny and Moira are kind of just in there listening to him spout off about how it's concerning. And Moira says, oh, when did you become the grim reaper of romance, David? And I mean, he always kind of was until Patrick came along. Truly, so truly. He's been the grim reaper of romance. And just then Alexis walks in dressed to the nines, if I don't say so myself.
She's having a rebound in her personal style in this episode.
She is glamorous. She's got all sparkly, super short, backless dress, her hair slicked back to one side. And Moira says the stupidest thing. We were just having the most stimulating conversation about you, as if like everyone does that.
Right.
And David adds in Uganda. Duh. We were talking about Uganda because
I didn't pick up on that the first time I watched it through. I was like, oh, I see what he's doing.
Who doesn't talk about Uganda? Yeah,
who doesn't?
But I guess in Moira's defense, it's better than the awkward silence that ensues when people are talking about you and you walk in. Because I've definitely been a victim of that. Hey guys, what is everyone talking about? And crickets.
Right.
And Alexis says, oh, you guys were waiting up for me. I was out on a date. And Artie, this gentleman we have yet to meet, Artie has taken her to the new steakhouse in Elmdale. And it was really expensive, but she doesn't care because she's not paying. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly how I feel. And I'm married. So if I'm not paying, that's fine with me.
Yep.
So it kind of seems like, okay, well, maybe this is fine for her. She says, you know, I just thought it would just be best to just get myself back out there. Why not? You know? Mm-hmm. So
trying to be optimistic.
Yeah. Like thinking glass half full kind of thing. And she's not going to stay single forever. So why not just have a little fun and meet people? Right. So she said, I'm going to go get ready for bed. And she goes in the bathroom and closes the door. And there's a little tap, tap, tap at the door. Mm-hmm. And David gives a ugh. Who could this be at this hour? He opens the door, and there's a very much older gentleman hanging up a purse in front of the door, and he's not even paying attention.
No.
And he looks at David and says, oh, I'm sorry, I have the wrong room, I guess. I'm looking for Lexi. And David said, well, this is where Lexi lives. And I'm her brother. You can call me Davey.
He is just
ready to just punch in on this joke. And stupid Artie. Oh, hi, Davey. Nice to meet you. You know, like ready to meet the fam. And Johnny butts in, of course, because now Johnny's very curious. And Moira wanders over to the door. How old do you think Arthur seems? Artie, upper 50s at least, right?
Early, mid-60s. Yeah.
Mid-60s. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we can clearly see that Lexi... This is not a good choice for Lexi, right? No. And Johnny introduces himself. Moira also chimes in. I'm Lexi's mom. Like, nobody's really amused by this guy at all.
No.
And Artie just says, cool. Like, when he meets everyone, cool.
Great way to meet people, yeah.
Hands off the purse and says, I'll just shoot Lexi a text. Yeah, you do that, Artie. Go ahead. And David, very amused, closes the door behind him and turns around and says, well, our Lexi's making some very solid choices. And that's the opening scene. So now we're all worried about Lexi, right?
Yes.
But we're going to do Lexi last, I think. We'll do her storyline last. And we will start the next day. I'm trying to decide which way I want to go. I guess we'll start the next day with the boys and their storyline. Mm-hmm. So then I think in the next morning at the cafe, David and Patrick are kind of sitting at a table, budget and wedding planning and budgeting things. And Jocelyn is creepily ogling them from the bar. And Patrick kind of asks David, you know, where are we at on the florals? And David says, well, there's a few things tying that up. And Patrick says, well, like, you haven't called for a quote yet. And David said, well, that could be it. So you don't have florals, Stephanie. You are making your own florals.
You have made your own florals. But I've been in round two lately of making them. I ordered some more for like floral decor. But yes, flowers are expensive.
They are expensive. That's what I was going to say. So yeah. You're doing the solowood flowers,
I'm doing
right?
The solowood flowers, yes. We are going to supplement with some greenery that I'm still trying to figure out.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards like live greenery, so we would obviously wait until we get closer to source that. But I want to say, so when I was building, I can actually tell you, please hold. Pull up my wedding planner app. All right. So yeah, wedding flowers are very expensive. And I use this wedding planning app that helps you with budgeting, and it will give you recommendations for different categories. Granted, like you can obviously move things around, but just to give you a good like reference point for roughly what you should anticipate spending in a wedding is 8% of your total budget on flowers is what 8%. Experts recommend that you spend. So let's just say you had a $10,000 wedding for easy math. That means you should be spending about $800 on flowers.
Okay. That doesn't seem like enough to me.
Well, yeah.
Like just knowing how much flowers cost.
But like let's also say like the average wedding they say in America is like $30,000. So times that by three, $2,400 on flowers.
I think of some of the weddings we have gone to that have had outrageous centerpieces and arches aisle. They have spent 18% of their budget at least on flowers.
I can tell you right now, I've spent about $300 on flowers. And that also includes some of the like the vases that are going to be displayed. And then I made all of the bouquets, boutonnieres.
Oh, here's the beautiful thing about yours is they last forever.
It will never die.
Bring home my boutonniere or corsage or whatever it is I'm having, and I will have it as a memento forever.
Or use it as a cat collar. You've got so many options.
Yeah. So Crystal did something similar. She ordered from a girl off Instagram that made bouquets out of this faux, what do they call that? Pompous grasses and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like dried.
And so these were all very bold, vibrant colors. She had this girl make the bouquets, and the idea was we could all keep them forever. And they all, every single one of them, mine included, wound up at my sister's house because no one really knew where they were at the end of the night. But I do want to bring mine home eventually and just put it in a vase, like either in my office at work or somewhere here, like to cheer up this space. But it's like, oh, duh, we were all supposed to take these and keep them. And I mean, I blame the alcohol, but whatever. So anyway, David, and thank you for that budgetary insight. That's interesting that 8% is to be spent on flowers. Very cool. Yeah. David and Patrick, who knows? I envision David to have quite a big flower budget. If I'm being honest, I feel like that's going to be an important aspect of his wedding. Mm-hmm. So they're wedding planning, and still Jocelyn is looking over, and David said, okay, what's the deal? Why is she being creepy? And Patrick fesses up and says, well, I forgot to mention she did actually ask me about a job at the store. And David kind of laughs and says, well, you told her no, right? This actually isn't a terrible idea because I always have a hard time fathoming how it's just the two of them.
Right.
Especially when they disappear.
To go out and do anything together during
normal
the day.
Business hours.
Tag teaming to go get coffee and then David is there for lunch and never comes back.
They could use an extra sales associate.
Absolutely.
Okay. But to David's, defense, Jocelyn's not really on brand for the store. And she wanders over, she runs over and is so excited. It looked like you were calling me over. And she's got her Jocelyn hair and full do,
feathers.
Right? Full Jocelyn do.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know if Patrick mentioned it, but we were talking about the possibility of a job. And David said, yeah, we're still assessing that situation, which it's very bold of her to just be like, so what'd you decide, guys?
Yeah.
Patrick, I love that he's like kind of throwing David under the bus for this decision because I'm sure because Patrick makes all of the hard business decisions and the adult decisions, like, David, just do this, right?
Yeah.
And she said, well, when you're done assessing, let me know, because I'll be the one looking for money with a baby at home when I dug your dad's business out of a dumpster, basically. So is that how this is working? Is that how this works? Like, in your opinion, is everyone in the family now indebted to the shits?
Indebted to the shits. I think she's pulling a decent strategy to get this job or this opportunity. Yeah.
She's got a side to her. We saw it last week when she was pulling for that presidential suite. Well, I guess we can just sleep in the truck. And we had to take on a renter to help this business. Mm-hmm. So she's using this. I mean, granted, it is a big sacrifice.
Jocelyn is not as proud. She is not too proud to spit the truth of her circumstances.
So I guess everyone in the family with a business or any type of money is fair game, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
And so she said, David goes, well, that's a lot to divulge over brunch. He's just overwhelmed. She's like, well, I was divulging my brunch over the classifieds ads, and I did see a server position for Bazonga's Gentleman's Club. And David says, well, I don't see what's wrong with that. And Patrick and Jocelyn both shoot him a look of, are you serious? Come on. Patrick says, I'm sure we could work something out, right? Mm-hmm. Patrick is finally going to jump in here and, you know, help out. And David said, okay, I it's almost as if Patrick like kicked him under the table. Don't be stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't see why a trial run could hurt, right?
Right. So, and they're going to be supervising. They're not leaving her alone.
Yeah, it's not like she's in charge or whatever. Yeah. What's the worst that could happen, right? So just perfect. There you go. That's the spirit, David. I'm going to meet you at the store. I need to go home and change into something more casual.
More casual. This feathered t-shirt. And a t-shirt. Too formal.
That actually is pretty cute and unlike Jocelyn's typical style, but she needs to be more casual.
It's very primary school colors.
Oh, like, yeah. She's like kindergarten teacher, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always wonder, like, when does she ever teach also? Because
that is a great question. What is the school teacher, schedule?
But here she is, like, all the way, all around town.
Is she on sabbatical or something? What's going on?
They don't do sabbatical in grade school, do they?
They do not. I don't think so.
What? I mean, is she still on maternity leave? No. Roland Jr. is like,
she's
7 months
about
old.
Grading papers. Yeah.
Yeah. Planned it right. She had that baby about 3 months before school got out and then got an extended
extra
maternity
long
leave,
summer
right?
break. Yeah.
Yeah. So she heads out to put on something more casual. And David says, Patrick says, well, look at the bright side, David. Now you'll have more time to do things like call the florist. And David takes his swig of orange juice with his common looks. It's just like he's just gritting his teeth, grin and bear it, right?
Yep.
Jocelyn comes later to the store for her training shift in a lovely sweatshirt with an owl on the front. That's way better than the cute t-shirt
more
she had
casual.
On earlier.
Yeah.
And David is in training mode. He's apparently been designated to train the trainee.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just giving her the rundown of how to help customers. You know, we want to help them, but not assault them, basically, I think is kind of the vibe he's giving off. Let's talk about getting assaulted by customer sales.
Okay.
I don't have any specific story, but what are the worst locations? I can think of what my least favorite place is when I don't want to talk to a person.
Bath and Body Works is one of them.
Bath and Body Works for you.
They're really like, they are up in your business. And scents are such a personal choice that I'm like, this isn't anything
your help. I need your help.
Yes, you can tell me like, all the sales
buy two,
and
get,
specials.
Buy two, get three free. This is a sale, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
I was also in a Athleta recently, which is that athletic wear. It's under the like Old Navy Gap empire. And they come right up to you and it's like, just so you know, we're having this special. If you just try on our famous blah, blah, blah leggings, you get 15% off with any purchase. But we know once you try them on, you're going to want to buy them. And I'm like, okay. Like,
get out of here.
This is coming out a little strong. And so, no, I didn't try them on. And then I told Sushant afterwards. He's like, why didn't you try them on?
Well, 15% isn't that much. I thought you were going to say 50%. And then I would be all over that.
If I try on two pairs, can I get 100%
off? Can I get 30% off? How does this work? If Sushant buys a pair and you buy a pair, like it's just like Johnny at the grand opening of the Rose Cup.
What are some places you can think of?
My least favorite is a furniture store.
Oh gosh. When I go to a commission, yes,
so desperate. When I go to a furniture store, I make eye contact with no one. I put blinders on. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to sit on the comfortable couches. I'm not even really looking for furniture. Yeah. I just wanted to see your cute living room setups.
Yep.
Leave me alone. They're the worst. 150 times the worst of my experiences.
Before I got my car, which I'm leasing, I've had car dealerships like 2 years.
Another one.
I was looking a lot online, doing research, and the first time I tried to go to a dealership, I pulled in and I saw like 3 sharks left in the parking lot, and I pulled in. I was like, nope, not today, and I left because my anxiety just skyrocketed. Yeah. I could tell they were going to be at my door.
With so much information and questions, and can I just browse first and I will approach you if I have a question?
So what I ended up doing was I decided I'm going to make an appointment, choose a sales rep, and just go in and ask for that person so that I'm not attacked.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The furniture people to me are the worst. And then the other one I don't like, and this is only because I'm generalizing, but I feel like if I ever go into Home Depot by myself, there are 7 guys in orange vests. Can I help you? Because I'm a woman. Mm. And I'm like, no, I know what I'm doing. I know more what I'm doing in here than my husband knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Don't patronize me.
You are that Ron Swanson meme. I know.
I do get irritated when I do need something in the Home Depot and can't find a person or Lowe's or Menards.
Or I've had that happen at Home Depot. And then you ask someone, they're like, well, do you have our app on your phone? I'm like, you are getting paid to be here right now. Just tell me where it is. Don't tell me.
Like
the app is nice, but if I don't have the app, don't shame me for it. Just tell me.
I definitely go to that app. It's very accurate on aisle and bin number in Home Depot anyway.
Yeah.
That is a good feature to avoid talking to somebody. But sometimes once in a great while, I will have a question. I'm the type of person that gets a project in my mind and I envision it. And when I'm not finding exactly what I'm needing for it, like I made up in my head that it existed, sometimes I'm just like not describing it right. And I have to find the right person to find it for me.
Who can understand your vision.
But don't approach me because it looks like I don't know what a hammer is. Like, get out of here. Okay, just saying. So anyway,
David is not one of those.
David
is
he's like kind of a hands off, like help but don't help kind of attitude. And that's what he's feeding to Jocelyn as a customer walks in. And she says, the customer right away says, does this come in a smaller size? And David's response is very cold and off-putting. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't. And that's it. Right.
Yeah.
So in a place like this, I think in this small town vibe, it's more okay to have salespeople. Yes. You want to chit chat in these small towns and these local
businesses.
David's
trying to bring a certain level of like eliteness to this business.
Yes.
Where it's like, we don't need your business.
Like, stop being so snobby, David.
Yes.
And Jocelyn chimes in to a look of panic on David's face and says, oh, but I use this all the time. And trust me, you're going to love it. And you're going to need the big size. And she totally relates to this customer.
Talks
as
on
a
personal
woman.
Level about like just having a baby, makes a connection. Yeah.
So, well, it's actually for my daughter, but she just had a baby. So this is very helpful. And not only does the woman take the bottle, she picks up two.
She buys two.
So, okay, Jocelyn, look at you. And she just kind of chimes in and puts salt in David's wound and says, oh, you guys make it look way harder than this. So then later,
this is also when we hear the first have a rosy day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She says, and David like, oh, where did that come from?
We did not. That was not on the script.
Fun here. This will give away a little name. Rosie was on my short list for my cat's name.
That's a cute. That's a
yeah.
Good
Rosie
name.
Was a cute one. And then as we were just rewatching it, I said to Joe, "Oh, Lexi would have been cute too. Both would have been Schitt's Creek related too." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Well, you didn't name it yet." And I said, "Well, I've already told the name to several people, so she's basically named, right?" So later on, Jocelyn is running the register. She's trying her hand at running the register. And the guys are standing by and watching. And she is really relating. You can tell she's relating to all these customers. She's got a line at the till. She's chit-chatting with everybody. Most of them are women, granted. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she can relate to them. The other only guy in there looks like he might be gay. I'm not sure. I'm just generalizing, but she's, you know, selling things left and right and chit-chatting. And Patrick says, I just use his line, not to rub salt in the wound. Mm-hmm. But Jocelyn is kind of killing it. And David said, okay, but is she really? I've had a good day on the sales floor too. He just can't concede that she might be doing a good job. Okay, I get it. She is not on brand for their store.
No.
She's not this hip, trendy young adult, you know, but she does know 90% of the people in the town. She's the mayor's wife. Like, all that can be utilized to their benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And David said, how do we know it's not just beginner's luck? Like that one time I walked into a casino and I won $1 million on the first pull of the basic instinct slot machine. We were just talking about theme slot machines last week.
We were.
And basic instinct of all themes, huh?
Yeah.
And obviously he's told that story before because Patrick says, I'm beginning to think that was the most exciting moment of your life.
Your whole life.
I mean, it is pretty exciting when you win a lot of money on a slot machine, if I'm being honest. But he said, why can't you just admit that she's doing really good at this? And David said, well, for all we know, it's just a show. Maybe she just told all of her friends to come. And Patrick says, friend or not, a sale's a sale. And David said, yeah, but is that all we're about? Just selling our products at the sacrifice of our look, basically. Mm-hmm. And Patrick says, literally, that's all we're about, like selling.
That is what they're about. But I can understand too, as a business owner, you want to have some control over the integrity and the aesthetic of your store.
Yeah. But Patrick's like, literally, that's the purpose.
Like, we already know they could make bank if they only sell plungers, but like, that isn't the vibe they're going
for.
That
is not the aesthetic they're looking for.
Yeah.
But a store is a store. And at the end of the day, a sale is a sale. I got to agree with Patrick on that, you know?
Yep.
So maybe we could train Jocelyn's wardrobe and train the have a rosy day out of her, right? Yes.
Right.
So he said, well, what are you saying? We should offer her a job then? And Patrick said, I think it would be more meaningful coming from you. He's still like pushing him under the bus on this. And so the day comes to the close, and somewhere out of nowhere, Jocelyn has found a bell.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
And she's ringing the bell. And David said, okay, this is not the stock market. We don't need to close. We don't need a closing bell. And she's like, wow, is it really this busy? No, Jocelyn, I've literally never seen anyone in this store other than opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And David, or Patrick says, well, it was a good day for us. And with that being said, David has something he would like to say to you. Mm-hmm. And David said two things, actually. I thought we were going to scrap Rosie Day. And Jocelyn said, well, people seem to enjoy it. And he said, and second of all, we would like to offer you a position on our sales staff. And she's so honored and so excited. But
I just don't think it's for me.
I think I'll pass. And suddenly,
they are both flabbergasted.
As David would say, it's not in my brand. I don't think David's ever said it like that. No. And he agrees. And now Patrick is the offended one. What? And she said, yeah, I saw a few tutoring gigs in the classifieds, which to me seems like a real lucrative opportunity.
She said, I think I will take my chances. Like, literally.
Take my chances. Okay. I wonder what do you think about it is not on brand for her? Do you think she was just getting sick of being judged by David the entire day?
She talks about how she doesn't find it fulfilling, like how being a teacher is fulfilling.
That's right.
And she just sees it as capitalism, probably.
In the grand scheme of things, it's just a retail job.
Yeah.
And imagine working at JCPenney or something. It's just kind of a dead end, mindless job. So, okay. So tutoring, I think, would be a better gig for her anyway, because people pay good money for tutors and she's a teacher. She ought to be able to rake in some bank.
Yep.
So the one thing I am going to rag on, I'm going to rag on Patrick for just 5 seconds here.
Yes.
Because I think I've ragged on him before about this ridiculous half mustache thing he's got going on. I can't stand it, Stephanie.
You notice these.
I can't.
Is your TV 8K or something?
It's like 16,000K. It's so bad. Please, someone has to agree with me. It makes him look like he's like 13 and just getting his voice changed and like learning what facial hair is. I can't. Somebody said, don't rag on Patrick or I'll hate your show. And I can't help it in this instance.
Okay, I see
hey,
it.
Stephanie, he looks like he's like a 13-year-old just getting his Adam's apple. And like, yeah, you see it? Show me. She's showing me.
Yes.
I can't get over it. Like, this is a grown man. Shave your face and look like it, man. Does he not look like his voice would be squeaky?
Disclaimer from the other end of the podcast. We support all body hair choices. We do not discriminate on this podcast. Your body hair, your choice.
It's just not my favorite look of Patrick's.
Okay, and we get it.
I've said it before.
I know.
I've said it before. Someone out there has to agree.
I'm sure there's someone else. The world has a lot of people.
You know, he reminds me of that kid David tried to help in season one.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Hey, well, I'm just saying. Anyway, this is not on Jocelyn's brand. Patrick is pissed. David is kind of gloating at this moment. He's like, see, you tried to throw me under the bus and she don't even want this job. Joke's on you.
Yeah.
But she'll come by tomorrow for her check. Bye. So this is a training session. I want to ask, like,
training sessions.
You should get paid for this, right?
Yeah, when you're
officially
on company time,
you get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is a lot of like onboarding and paperwork for one shift. Now that I do that part of my job, like, that's annoying. But yeah,
they're probably
she's there helping. Like, she definitely should get paid.
They're probably just Venmoing her at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay her under the table. That's true. Yeah. No need to do it official.
No.
Yeah. You're right. We're a little ways in here. I think we could take a break right now, and then we're going to come back and find out more about this Artie character, and we're also going to see what Moira is up to for the day.
Okay. Calling all gentlemen and gentlewomen. This week's sponsor is here to entice, surprise, and make you exclaim va-va-voom. It's none other than the region's one and only Bazanga's Gentlemen's Club. With tasteful and tantalizing shows every weeknight, you're bound to have a great time. Or bring the whole squad for a weekend burlesque brunch featuring bottomless champagne and bottomless entertainment. Mention this podcast for a complimentary motorboat, courtesy of our Spotlight Dancer of the Month, Gwen. So the next time you're looking to plan a show-stopping, jaw-dropping bachelor or bachelorette party, ditch the ordinary escape room or dive bar itinerary and shimmy down to Bazanga's Gentleman's Club, where we won't tell if you don't.
All right. And thank you to Bazanga's Gentleman's Club. Whoop, whoop. Fun fact, Stephanie, they franchise all around the nation. And I actually paid for college with my tip money through my shifts at Bazanga's Gentleman's Club. Yeah, I was just a waiter, just a waitress. I wasn't one of the performers, but you know me, I got those Bazangas. So
yeah.
And now so does the world. So let's see. We're going to pick up now back onto this Alexis and Artie storyline and see what this is all about. Right. So I guess the next morning, because we only did the night before, right? After her date last night. That's the only time we've seen Artie so far. So the next morning, Alexis is at her little table in her bedroom and Johnny walks in and she's clearly just giggling and laughing and texting on her phone. And Johnny basically walks in to talk like an old man and say, wow, kids and their phones these days. Stupid Johnny. You know how he is. And what are you laughing about? Is that David you're having an online laugh with?
An online laugh.
And laugh. Usually when I'm like to Joe, who are you texting? Not are you having an online laugh with somebody? But no, it's not David. It's Arthur. And he's so funny and has so many stories. And Johnny said, yeah, I'm sure with that many years under your belt, you would. And he's just kind of prodding.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly where we all know he wants to prod, because we are all having the same thoughts. Like, this guy is too old for you, Alexis.
Yes.
And
we also find out it's only been a week since.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. So
I think it was in the cold open. David says that early on.
Very quick. So she said, well, we're going to head to the it's just casual and we're just hanging out, whatever. We're going to head to the Elm Lake Jazz Festival today. Artie loves scatting along with the songs.
Love scatting.
She says, "Do you know what scatting is?" And Johnny says, "Yeah, I'm not a fan. I had to look up scatting. Did you know what it was before this?"
I absolutely knew what it was because okay. There is a song called Scatman, which we had it wasn't Now That's What I Call Music, but it was one of those like compilation CDs as a kid. And we got it because it had the Macarena on it, which that's why we really wanted it.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the songs on it was Scatman. And so just picture two white 8-year-olds scatting.
So scatting, for if you don't know, is when you just like throw in syllables or words or like jiggity jop jop. You know, skibbity pat pat, but it boop boop.
Exactly like that.
And like, Big in jazz, even old jazz. Like when I Googled that, I found a video of Sammy Davis Jr. and Ella Fitzgerald scatting, which is probably a scatting that would be welcome, right?
A welcome but scat.
We don't want Artie scatting in my audience. That is a jazz band. Get out of here, right? So they're going to this. You like my scatting, huh?
I loved it. It was great.
We should have a scat off. All right, I did a line. You give me a line of yours, Stephanie.
Let me get to that episode. I've got some time to prepare.
You think about it. This is going to be, instead of trivia, we're going to hear your best scat off at the end. Okay. So they're going to the jazz festival and Johnny's less than impressed by the scatting too. But since you brought up Artie, you know, I was just thinking, you know, maybe you shouldn't rush things. And she assures him, Dad, it's just for fun. And it's only been a week. So now I'm thinking this is rushed, but why not get a free meal? Or like when you're on dating apps, you go on a date and you get a free dinner out of it. And if it sucks, it sucks. And that can be the end of it. Same thing here. Why not get a free dinner or two out of it? Go to the jazz festival. Mm-hmm. I think as long as your expectations and you're not leading someone on are the same, like that can be fine. So why shouldn't she get something out of this, right?
Yeah.
Because not only is she broken up with Ted, but she's been away from him for a while too. So she's been alone.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe hooking up is her thing too. Girls got needs. So anyway, she says, you know, it's just casual. We're just having fun, but mentions how they might go away for a wine weekend next week in wine country because his ex-wife owns a vineyard and his kids and grandkids are going to be there for his birthday.
When Johnny hears the grandkids.
And he's like, he coughs. And she also says, you know, Artie's an old soul, just like me. I'm an old soul. Really? Stephanie, I would say you are an old soul. And I think Artie is a much older. You're definitely not as old as Artie.
Definitely not.
So Johnny says, and how old of a soul would you guess he is? He's just doing anything to try and point out the fact that this is the wrong thing. Obvious. Right?
Yeah.
Artie doesn't care about things like age. Like, of course he doesn't. He's with a hot 30-year-old girl. You know,
of course he's gonna say that.
Oh my God, is he calling me right now instead of texting? That's so 2001. And she picks up the phone and says, "Hey, babe," and basically has to give him instructions on how to like a photo on Instagram. You just double tap. So it's as if she's talking to Johnny on the other end of the phone. So
yeah.
Later in the cafe, I guess these young loves were on their way to the Elm Jazz Festival and already had some low blood sugar, so they had to stop in for a snack. Those diabetes type 2 when you're that age. The diabetes kicking hard when you're that age, right? You got to keep that shit in check.
Yeah.
And Johnny kind of wanders in, and we also see kind of a concerned Twyla watching from behind the counter, and he kind of walks up and says hello, and we just stopped in and we're having mimosas, and Artie calls Johnny Dad more than once. Ew. Hey Dad, don't worry, I'm over 21, Dad, blah 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 blah. Okay, Arthur. And he says, please call me Artie. Johnny says, well, please don't call me Dad.
Seriously.
So Johnny leaves and goes over to get a coffee and asks Twyla, you know, what she knows about him or what Alexis has told her. And she said, I don't know, but I think he dated my aunt once because I remember him in a Christmas picture one year.
Holding me as a baby.
Holding her as a baby. This all tracks with Artie's age, right? And meanwhile, Alexis has excused herself to go to the bathroom, and Johnny seizes this opportunity. He's going to go right over there, and he wants to have a man-to-man talk, right? And he said, "Oh, mind if I take a seat?" And Artie says, "Oh, of course, there's always room for Lexi's little man." And Johnny blurts out, "And that's just a smidge worse than Dad." I yeah. love Johnny in this scene. Like, it's so funny. And he kind of gives him the grills him a little bit, like, "What do you do?" And Artie's like, "I know you're probably worried about, you know, things like where do I live and this and that. Don't worry, I'm retired. I used to own a very successful trailer park business. But that's not where I live. I live in a 3-bedroom home with an above ground pool. If that's what you're worried about."
No,
I was not worried about that. But he does say she's vulnerable. She just left a really tough relationship that we all thought was the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure
where a week this ago.
Is. Yeah, I'm not sure where this is going, but you should tread lightly. And I, you know, this is perfect. This is the perfect way to put it, because in this way, to Artie, it looks like he is looking out for Artie.
Yes.
You know, but we
it's
all
know. It's not as threatening as we know it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And Artie can see, like, yeah, I think when he leaves this conversation, yeah, she's probably just going to dump me anyway. So I think he thinks that Johnny's looking out for him, but he's clearly mm-hmm. looking out for Alexis. So I love this little train of discussion here. Mm-hmm. And he said, As Johnny kind of closes the conversation and walks away, Artie tries to give him a little heart to heart. "I know it's tough being a dad and even tougher being a granddad, but," and Johnny edges in the last word, and I love it. "Yeah. Well, maybe when I get there, you can give me some tips." Yeah. And he just like leaves. And I was like, yes, Johnny.
Out.
Yes, Johnny. Zing, right?
Yes.
So that's where that conversation ends. And later on, he's back at the motel, Johnny is, and he comes out of the office and he sees Alexis just marching across the grass, clearly upset, angrily running into her room and slamming the door. And we see her throw her stuff on her bed and her keys on her desk, and just she's really upset.
Yeah.
Doing her signature, at everything. And Johnny kind of taps on the door and walks in and he says, "Is everything okay? What's going on?" She says, "Yeah, great. Just great. My life is going so great right now." Like, and clearly shit's hit the fan with Artie. So,
and she looks like
she's been crying.
She's not really wearing makeup, or she cried it all off. Yeah.
She says, "Here's a fun fact. I just got dumped by a man who wears 3 medic alert bracelets out of nowhere." And Johnny tries to play dumb and says, "Oh, well, here we are back to bumbling idiot Johnny." Right.
Yes.
He's pretty smooth so far in this episode, but now he's back.
It's not
to
a clean transition
back
from
to
one
his
to the
normal
other.
Self, right? "Oh, well, that does seem abrupt. But you know, maybe it's for the best. You know, maybe it's just a sign that he wasn't the one for you." And she's like, "Duh, I knew that he wasn't the one for me. I was just looking for a distraction." Like, she was just looking to have fun mm-hmm. and get some free meals out of it and whatever. And for example, he's got shitty taste in makeup music. Cat Stevens. Okay. Johnny's clearly a Cat Stevens fan. Cat Stevens is one of these musicians that I know the famous name and I know I would recognize a song or two, but I'm like,
don't
have a clue.
Yeah.
So Joe and I did a little, "Hey Siri, play the greatest hits," right
Cat
before
Stevens.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the only one we recognized right off the bat was probably the most famous, and it's called Wild World, and it's like, "Ooh, baby, it's a wild world." So that one seemed pretty recognizable to me. There are 12 on the greatest hits playlist. The other one I semi-recognized was Father and Son, but I didn't recognize it well enough to sing it back to you.
Okay.
And the only other one was "Morning Has Broken," which is a church song.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? "Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken." You know it, right?
Look at that vibrato. Yes.
Listen, I grew up singing
church
this
choir.
Church choir. Yep. My mom was the organist at church. I know all these songs. I'm like, "Morning has broken. That's a church song." Anyway, it's Cat Stevens songs, guys.
Okay.
Again, one of those musicians that I would never.
Do you think that's what he was trying to make out with?
I don't know. If it was, she was right. Terrible makeout music. How religious. He wanted it to be a religious experience.
I guess so.
Anyway, you know, Johnny's just trying to cheer her up. She said, "What am I going to do?" She basically says, "I don't even know how to date anyone anymore. I'm getting broken up with by gross old men. And I mean, at least she was aware that he was a gross old man, okay, I guess.
This is what I like about this scene, even though it's super sad and depressing, is like Alexis is being real in this scene. And she seemed so delusional up until this point that I was worried.
You weren't sure, right?
I wasn't sure. Yeah. And so she dropped the fake facade, like everything's great, I'm having fun, and admitted like, yeah, he was a gross old man and I just needed to do something to not think about how alone I am, basically.
But it is nice to know that she still has a head, like her responsible, matured under head there, on her shoulders.
Like under that, you know, all of that, she's paying attention.
Yeah. And even Johnny, you know, he tries to reassure her. Well, he wasn't that gross. He seemed polite and he seemed responsible, and he did run a successful mobile home business. And then she's pissed.
Overstepped.
Wait a minute. I didn't friggin' tell you that. Where did you learn that information? Right. Mm-hmm. And this is such a sweet scene. This was another one that was one of those flashes in the promo.
Yes, I remember that. And I was concerned.
Like, oh my God. You know, but now she's pissed. She's like, what did you say to him? And why did you talk to him? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Butting into my life, basically.
Yeah.
And she said, this also, I have to just commend Annie Murphy for her acting in this scene. Cause I feel like you said, she looks like she's been crying. She also is acting really, like her acting is so good in this vulnerable moment. Yeah. She said, why would you do that? I told you I was in control. And Eugene, Johnny Levy, his acting too. Well, honey, I don't know that you were. And we all felt that like throughout this episode, we don't know that you were in control. Mm-hmm. And basically, he puts his foot down and he says, and I wanted to be there for when you're dating gross old men. Yes. I wasn't there before when you were getting broken up with by these sleazeballs. And now I'm here and I'm going to protect you, damn it.
Like, and also, that's a great point to think about how many stories she's had where she had to get herself out of trouble.
Yeah.
And so she's used to having to take care of herself, and she's not used to family looking out for her and protecting her.
And he's also not used to seeing her get hurt like this, because he never saw it in the past like that. Or she was doing the heartbreaking herself, you know, like whatever.
It's a new opportunity for both of them to
start anew, like basically. And she says something too. Where were you when I was dating half the cast of White Squall? And he's like, I don't think I want to know. I had to look that one up. White Squall. Do you even know what that is?
I know.
The 1996 American disaster survival film.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. It seems like one of those, like, who will you eat first if you're the last survivors video movies? I don't know for sure.
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. She apparently had a fling with them. And she says, you know what? Like, this is really sad. She's like, what am I going to do now? I can't even.
When she says that, it makes me sad.
It's like everyone's heart breaks with her, Johnny's included. And he like lets her cry on his shoulder. But then a hot second later, I wonder when David will be home.
He's
that's
not,
me.
Like, she really leans into the, okay, you're going to support me,
Dad.
Yeah, because
she cries. Like, yeah. That's kind of me. Like, I'll give you a hug for comfort. But then when things get serious, I'm like, is there someone else that can help? So that's kind of where that scene ends.
Yeah.
Another sad one for Alexis this week.
This one, like, the scene is really well executed and written, but again, it just reminds...
And acted, just so good.
It just reminds me how sad I am about what happened last week, and we can't just, like, brush it off and start a new episode with a new boyfriend, you know?
Right.
We have to acknowledge...
We have to grieve, all of us.
We have to grieve.
Alexis, too.
Yes.
So that's where that ends. We're going to end on a little bit more uplifting or comedic of a storyline. Maybe not necessarily uplifting, but
excellent.
Comedic. Yes. So the only people we haven't seen today are Moira and I guess Stevie and Roland are part of this storyline here. So rewind back into the morning of the day. Stevie's out on room cleaning duty, and in a laugh out loud moment for me, Moira walks out of the store and just shrieks, Stevie! And the car has been egged. And Moira is wearing what I can only describe as like that metal chain link garb that knights wear under their armor.
And the other hilarious part
about it is that it looks like a bikini body.
I do not like this dress because she looks great. She always looks great. But I do not like how where the
you can see the boobs.
The boobs are looking super saggy, even though they're not. It's just like where the cup lines are hitting her on her
to
body.
Me, it looks like one of those t-shirts that people wear that are a bikini body.
Yeah.
And it's just like
it's giving
over.
Her droopy boobs. Yeah, I don't think it's boobs. The most flattering.
But it also looks very chain link. Don't you? You know what I'm talking yeah. about? Like it the is, things that people wear.
It does look a little chain linky.
Yeah. Like it's there's a lot. I feel like that looks heavy to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why it's sagging.
It could be why it's sagging. And she comes out screeching about yes. this egg attack on her car, and Stevie jumps like a mile in the air. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. And she delivers one of my favorite lines ever. Either a flock of poultry has delivered its ova mid-flight upon our car, or I've become the victim of a vandalization. Stevie says, are you sure it's for you? I can think of a million people that want to egg David too.
Yeah, your whole family drives this car.
Yeah, it could be anybody, right? Steph, have you ever been the victim of petty vandalization like this, like when you were growing up as a teenager or anything?
I remember my dad's our family van got egged once, I think just by some like neighborhood teenagers who did it to a bunch of people. But I don't know if this is true, but the big panic about that was like, eggs can like strip the paint off of a car, or there's like,
I have a story about this.
Okay. Well, tell us.
So
that was my
it.
Only, yeah. That
have
was
you
my
ever
only...
committed any petty vandalization like
oh,
this?
Oh no.
Egging. Oh, Stephanie.
I'm too goody goody.
Too high and mighty. Not yeah. even like TPing or smashing someone's pumpkins.
No.
Ding dong ditch.
Maybe once or twice, no. but like okay. when I was really little.
Oh geez. Okay. Yeah. Egging, yes. I'm not sure about the egg factor. TPing was pretty common. Every fall, we TP'd our cross-country coach's driveway. He lived in the woods, so he had an insane driveway. And I'm telling you, it was like a wall of toilet paper to get into his. We all did it as a team. We did it in the dark. Smashing pumpkins was a thing. We would do that, sneak up to people's house and do that in town. This was when I was in... You know, I lived in the country, so I didn't have, I didn't have like access to stuff. But when I was older and in junior high and high school, I would go hang out with my friends in town. And then I would get the
also in the country. It's like
things.
The Wild Wild West.
Oh, yeah.
No
for
rules.
Sure.
You're out of any sort of municipality.
But one time I was staying at my friend Morgan's house, and there was this girl in our class that lived across the road from her. It was like a small little neighborhood, but they were also in the country. And it was just kind of this neighborly beef that they always had in that neighborhood. A bunch of the kids kind of always didn't get along. And so we went, and not only did we teepee, but we used eggs, we threw tomatoes, just whatever we could scrounge up in Morgan's house. This is a really bad story. I was not an ill-behaved teenager. This was my one bad thing I did, and boy, did I get in trouble for it.
Okay.
And the reason I got in trouble for it is because, yes, there was some paint ruined on her dad's truck. And not only did that happen, but the way I got found out about it is because her dad worked with my dad and he found out about it at work.
Oh.
So I was in deep trouble, deep, deep trouble. Had to call the dad and apologize on the phone. Got grounded from football games for like 6 weeks, which was like torture for me because that's all there is to do in Bad Axe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very traumatizing.
So how did her dad know it was you? Did they see you?
The kids saw us.
Okay.
Like just Morgan and I. First of all, Morgan has bright white hair, so she's kind of hard to hide in the dark.
Okay.
I guess we should have put on some camouflage, but it was very traumatic for me. Yeah. It was quite literally the one and only time I ever got grounded and got in trouble. And boy, when I tell you I never did anything again. Oof.
Yeah.
And I was pretty old at that point. I think we were in 10th or 11th grade. So
okay.
Terrifying. My dad was terrifying when he was mad at me. And I think that was the only time. So anyway, yes, petty vandalization like this is fun, but don't do it to people's cars.
No.
TPing, I think, is pretty harmless, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's a mess.
Good fun. And ding dong ditch too. Like, yeah. If a kid's doing that kind of stuff, they're not out drinking and trying drugs. That's my philosophy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, someone petty vandalized Moira's car, the family car. We don't know Moira's car or whatever. And as Stevie said, are you sure it's for her? But she is dead certain because she has refound her fame and the things crazy fans will do. You just don't know. in Crow's defense, egging someone's car seems like it could be an homage, not really a vandalization.
It is.
We love the Crows. Here's some verdicts. Right? Could be, right?
Yeah.
But she said, she's like, it seems that my return to prominence has painted another giant bullseye on my thorax. She has some good lines in this episode. I was kind of dreading this episode, honestly, last week. But
from a sadness factor.
Yeah, it's got some good laughs and lines.
Yeah, it does.
So Stevie says, well, I could give you this bucket of soap. and water to clean it up. No, do not tamper with the crime scene. We're taking this counsel and you're my star witness. Get in, bitch. We're going to counsel.
So they're bringing the car as evidence. Yeah. She's going to drive it with eggs all over the windshield.
Don't tamper with the crime scene, but let's take the crime scene somewhere else. Right.
We know geographically now, though. It's just right down the street.
It's really feasible that she could get there without. That could be a game. Like, how far can you get down the road without losing an egg off the car? So she hauls Stevie off to town council to file her complaint, barges in, and she said, what issue do you have that has us in here trembling before you? Stevie's just lingering behind in silence. Like, I'm not even part. Do I have to be part of this? And at least part of town council is there. Ronnie and Roland are there. Bob is nowhere to be seen. And Moira describes the incident and says, describe the carnage, Stevie. I was assailed this morning. Describe the carnage. And Stevie said there were some eggs on the car and one on the back windshield, the back window. And Moira screams, it was shattered.
Shattered.
And Ronnie says, the windshield. And Moira says, no, the egg. That's the bestial level of attack that we have here on our hands. She's so dramatic. And guess what, Moira? Roland pulls out a copy of People magazine, no less.
A real magazine.
And he said, I'm surprised they weren't eggs thrown at you after this interview you gave to People magazine. And apparently, for publicity for the Crows, she spoke ill of the town. She did not paint a nice picture of this place. The quote read, that's the last place you'd ever want to end up, per Ronnie. And Moira said, no, it's the last place I'd ever want to wind up. And man, this part really hit me and made me mad. Like, after all this town has given her and done for her and all the people she's made friends with. And I'm just like, Moira, come on. Right.
Yeah.
And Bob was so upset. He had to go home for the day.
He's really struggling right now.
Yeah, he's got a bad run of it. And Roland says, you know, this is bad. We were going to launch a tourism campaign. You know, they had like Singles Week. They had the Crows premiere here. Mm-hmm. The town has a few good steps in the right direction. And they were going to launch a tourism campaign. People might want to come here now.
Yeah.
But now if an A-list actress, Moira Rose, says it's the shittiest town, the last place she'd want to end up, why would people want to come? And you need to do something like to fix this.
Yeah.
And Moira basically turns it around and says, no, you need to do something. Do you want Stevie cleaning eggs off my car every morning? Well, no, I don't think Stevie's going to clean them off any morning, let alone every morning.
Including today. Yes.
Just so disappointed in Moira in this moment. Like, gross Moira is back.
I'll be honest. I don't know that I love her conclusion in the series.
And I don't. I 100% don't.
We won't spoil that, but we're getting close. And I think, she made such leaps and bounds.
She made such progress to go backwards.
And there's a lot of backpedaling. If we're talking about rebound, is it Alexis rebounding or is it Moira rebounding?
True.
Let's be honest.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because we will get into that later, but I definitely, and it just seems in the last few episodes that this has been coming up more and more.
Yes.
Because she keeps hinting at
moving back,
getting
moving
out.
And
and it's like, I thought we were past this, you know, but now it's a bad look. We're back to bad look, Moira, here.
Yep.
And she, you know, Roland kind of ignores her and she looks to Ronnie for help and Ronnie just rolls her eyes and gives her a cold shoulder. And as they all walk out together, Stevie has scooted out long ago.
Yes.
And as they all walk out together, this angry mob led by our very favorite townie, Robin, is holding up all these signs and picketing Moira.
The most Canadian picketing sign.
They're so nice and polite. And Moira screaming, why? Or sorry, Robin screaming, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it?
I think the most lines Robin has had in this series.
And I tried to see if I recognized anyone else, but I didn't recognize any repeat townies. And Moira kind of, you know, what's better than an apology? An explanation. And she says, they misquoted me. They took me out of context. They didn't use my whole quote. I specifically commended you and the town for your forever beating heart and your elephantis generosity. I think she used the word. And she said, a slice of heaven is what I remember saying. But that's not the quote they took, Moira.
No.
You know, and that is a terrible thing about the press. They love cherry picking quotes and spinning things like that. And she thinks she's going to smooth things over with a meet and greet and maybe a few selfies and autographs. Oh, and I have some headshots
in the boot of my car.
In the boot of her car. That's a very British reference.
Yes.
The boot. Ronnie says, no, don't point out which car is yours. We don't need more people knowing which one is yours.
Yeah.
But she says, Ronnie says, I do have an idea on how you could make this up to us. And she and Roland and Moira head out, and Roland's says, oh, can we talk about it over lunch? Because I pre-ordered a tuna sandwich, and I got to get that shit quick
because it don't last on long. Dime. Yeah.
And Moira leaves him with one little last word that she promises to make it up to them as soon as someone details her car. So that's the end of that scene. And we're treated to an unusual and fun ending just to wrap up the show. And this was what Ronnie had in mind when she said, you can make it up to us. Moira will now be the face of the tourism campaign.
Yeah.
And we get to see this very 90s VHS taped,
grainy,
taped on videotape.
Yes.
Promo video for Schitt's Creek. And she's the face of the campaign. And she likes to call this little slice of heaven the place where I currently am.
She refuses to say the name of the town
or where I live or the place I like to stay. Yeah. And we see all the important establishments, the cafe, the quiet apothecary.
The apothecary, the way she which says
is,
it.
Which is back to its quiet customerless
situation.
And of course, last but not least, the Rosebud Motel Group. Stevie, just as awkward as she was with that day with Ray trying to get pictures.
Yep.
And after
Johnny tries to speak.
Johnny tries to chime in. Thank you for having us. No, John, no. She says. And I love how she ends it. If heaven had a creek, it would be this one.
It would be this one.
And then we cut to the end.
Very
and
cute.
The 90s graphics titles. And I love the old VCR tracking lines at the bottom.
Remember
when you had to track your VCR and adjust the tape and stuff? So you kids out there don't even know what I'm talking about.
No idea. So. It is a super cute little promo video. And
it was really cute.
Hopefully
and I see it
did enough to make amends.
Yeah, I see if heaven had a creek used a lot in titles to articles and things like that. So it's a cute line.
Very I think nice. I even used it when we went to Ottawa,
I think
or Ontario.
Yeah.
Because there was a creek.
A cute little episode. I wasn't excited about it last week, but I was feeling better about it after I watched it back.
Some really good Moira lines.
Yeah. So I lied. We're still going to do a few pieces of trivia, and I am still going to make you scat. Okay.
All right.
So I would like to know if you picked up on this.
Okay.
Twyla says she remembers a photo of Artie and their family Christmas one year. What did Santa bring her for Christmas that year?
He brought her.
This is one of those most Twyla stories.
A lighter.
Yes,
a lighter. Yes,
that was the year Santa brought me a lighter.
Uh-huh.
Of course he did. Did he bring you a pack of cigarettes to go with it? Could you give me two slogans that were written on the protest signs?
I know it's not this, but it was like, I can't believe you've done this, or like
something.
I only wrote down two.
When there are definitely more than two options,
I don't remember.
It's funny that you say that because you said the most Canadian protest group. Yeah. So the two that I wrote down, that wasn't very nice. And we're not angry. We're disappointed.
There are others.
There are others too that are just as polite.
Mm-hmm.
finally, in the promo video, what does Moira try to order from the cafe menu?
Oh gosh, miso cod, miso black cod or something.
Very good. Yes. Wow, you were paying attention.
And I love how Twyla's like, we don't have that. Sold out's more like it.
And their faces after that, they're both like fake smiles.
Show me your teeth. Look,
yeah. Looking right at the camera.
Yeah. Twyla. I wonder who the videographer, it was probably Ray. If we really,
I had to have been.
It had to be Ray. He's the one with the video camera.
Have we even seen his video camera yet?
Not yet.
He does, spoiler alert, he has a video part of his photo business also. We know he's a man of many talents. So.
Yes.
So that's it. That's all for trivia stuff. Give me your best skibbity pap.
My best scatting. I literally, when you were talking earlier, I found there's a WikiHow website, 10 steps to scatting, but I had no time to practice.
What'd you learn?
I was going to try to make it Schitt's Creek-y. Shibbity bibbity, rosy dozy. Shiggity bibbity. Shibbity bibbity, rosy dozy. Schitt's Creek-ity beakity.
David Alexi. Bibbity
bobbity boo.
That's very Cinderella, not scatty. Very good stuff. I also saw one when I was Googling what that was that said there was one guy that just took the word avocado and used it in avocado, cotty banano, skibbity bado.
Oh my God.
I think it's bad news that I learned what scatting is.
We used to play that name game song where it's like
Stephanie, Katie, Bethany, Katie, Bo, Bethany, Bo, Bethany,
Banana, Fana, Fo, Fady, Me, My, Mo, Matey. And I always loved when someone had a name and it would be like
Farty or some funny word or something. Artie, Barty, Bo, Barty, Banana, Fana, Fo, Farty. Me, My, Mo, Marty, Farty.
Farty, Artie.
Artie probably did fart. Old people can't keep that shit in. Farty, Artie. And we're glad to never see him again.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. So, all right. Well, that's my episode. It was actually turned out to be quite a fun one.
It was fun.
We're in person next week and you're leading the charge, right?
Yes.
Am I right about that assumption?
Yeah, I will be leading next week. And we see a blast from Maura's past when it comes to her old Sunrise Bay community. Mm. They are coming out of the woodwork.
Okay.
And David is going to go do some wedding catering tasting next week, which we know you love.
Food episode.
Yeah, this is the food episode.
Very nice.
And Alexis, I think, is going to get a little bit of a boost through all of this as well.
Good.
So that will be good. She's going to come out of her depression, which, we want for her. So that's what's lying in the week ahead. It's also Thanksgiving this upcoming week.
What should we talk about this week? First of all, my cat name from Stephanie's singular clue.
Yes, Katie's cat name. Episode. Look out for photos and a name or
she'll be coming
name
next
reveal.
Week. Yep.
Yep.
What did we cover in this? Petty vandalization. Is it okay? Have you been a victim? Have you been the perpetrator?
Have you been a perpetrator?
Every kid's done it. I mean, except for Stephanie, apparently. Goody Two-Shoes Stephanie has been a perpetrator of petty vandalism. Okay, so let's talk about petty vandalism. I think that's a fun, kids fun type thing.
I want to know companies or stores where they have really aggressive customer service agents or sales
reps. Do you
have
any horror stories? Because I bet you people have some good stories about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Aggressive sales tactics.
What are your thoughts on Alexis trying to bounce back right away? Too soon?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Do you think she had it under control like she said she did?
Right.
Because Johnny and us, we did not think so.
We did not think so.
I think that's good. Got a lot of topics. Lord knows we don't put them all out there anyway.
Yeah, but it's the intention.
We've done pretty well. We've done pretty well. Yeah. And hopefully just by bringing them up, people feel like they can always just chime in and
you
write
can always,
to us.
Don't wait for the poll. Just send us your answers.
I love messages about things. Yes.
Because that tells us you listen.
That tells us you're paying attention, class.
Yep. Good job.
So, all right, Steph. Well, I'm excited to see you in person again in the flesh. We're going to get a lunch date or a dinner date or something of the sort. And you're going to meet my new baby.
Yes.
And again, since our next episode will come out after, happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your turkey gobble till you wobble. And until then, best wishes.
And have a rosy day.
We're not doing rosy day, but I'm fine.
And warmest regards. that spatula.